All right, we're going to do something a little different this morning. This morning is different because we typically don't have a chance to have a Christmas Day service, and I think it's a great time to reflect on what we're actually supposed to be reflecting on during the Advent season, because we get so busy during the Christmas season, during Advent, rushing around, doing Christmas shopping, doing all stuff, trying to focus our hearts and our minds on the real meaning of Christmas. But in the middle of all that, life is happening. And especially if for us who are in full-time Christian ministry, full-time church ministry, it's such a busy time. And it's so hard for us to even though we know the season, why we're doing this, it's hard for us to focus. And so this morning what we're going to do is we're going to review the Advent readings. And Ruthie wrote the Advent readings, and so she's going to come up and help me. Come on over here, Ruthie. She's going to help me read through the Advent readings, and then as we read them, we're going to talk through them a little bit and remind ourselves about the four gifts of Advent, which is peace, hope, joy, and love. And we've never done this before together, and this is kind of exciting for me to sit up here with Ruthie and give her a little hand there. Yay. So let's pray before we do that, and we'll ask God to speak to us through his word. Father, we just thank you that you did send Jesus. You came to the earth. You moved into the neighborhood. God with us. And you brought some gifts that we can experience if we allow you to enter into our story and if we enter into your story. And so as we read this, I pray that you would speak to our hearts and move us onto your agenda. Amen. Now, the readings are mostly scripture that Ruthie carefully chose and with some comments that she wrote in between. And so we're going to take turns reading those scriptures. And let the scripture wash over you. Let the scripture move you, because this is all God's word, and God has something he wants to say to each of you. You're here for a reason, and so let the scripture speak to you. So why don't you start with the first Advent reading? You're on.
Okay.
Got to turn this little thing right there.
The on thing.
There we go.
Should I talk now?
Talk now.
Yeah, okay.
Is it on?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, good.
On the first Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of peace. The word Advent means arrival or coming. Jesus' arrival has been in the news for a very long time. About 2,700 years ago, the prophet Isaiah predicted it with these words: "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Then 2,000 years ago, Jesus' arrival was announced with these words from Luke chapter 2 by the angels: "Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth." He arrived during a time of great political unrest, which only got worse as the Romans destroyed Jerusalem about 70 years later. Often we wonder what God meant when his messengers told of the coming of the Prince of Peace.
Jesus himself confidently spoke of the peace that he came to give us, saying, as recorded by John, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world."
Since he promises that we will have trouble in this world, we can see that his peace is not a peace of perfect circumstances. Jesus came to give us peace with God and with each other. His messenger Paul tells us in Romans, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us.
Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. And Jesus' brother James tells us, wisdom from above is peace-loving, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness.
How can we live this way? Again, the Apostle Paul helpfully instructs us. In Romans 8, he says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. In 2 Corinthians 13, he says, dear brothers and sisters, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, he says, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. Let us allow the Prince of Peace to govern our lives. He's called us to walk in his peace, live in his peace, and spread his peace. So that's the first Advent reading from the first Sunday of Advent. That happened, I think, the last Sunday in November. What stands out in this reading for you?
What stands out for me is just all the different aspects of peace. So first of all, we didn't have peace, and God saw to it to provide that for us through Jesus, and so he restored peace between us and him. And then he also says we can have peace during trials that we experience on earth, and that our peace doesn't come from circumstances. And then the outward kind of peace, where we are called to be peacemakers, mm-hmm. and share that gift of peace with other people.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was actually reminded when we were reading this of the time when it was after Jesus was crucified, and the disciples were scared to death that they were going to meet the same fate, and so they were hiding behind closed doors, locked doors, and Peter had disowned Jesus three times. He denied that he even knew Jesus three times. And Jesus shows up in this room behind locked doors, and the first thing he says is, peace be with you. In other words, everything's okay between us. Don't worry. It's okay. You have my shalom, my peace. And that's the kind of life that God wants us to live, that he's called us to live, in his peace. And it's interesting, too, how connected peace is with joy. And we're going to take a look at that when we look at the gift of joy. Peace and joy are so connected. You cannot have peace and not have joy. You cannot have joy and not have peace. When you have one, you have the other. And Jesus came to give us both. And when we live in that, when we live in the peace that he's given us, his joy will come and fill our hearts. So let's do the second Advent reading.
Second candle that we lit was the candle of hope. The season of Advent is a time of waiting and hoping as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the first coming of Jesus, our Messiah, when he was born in Bethlehem, and we also look forward to his second coming. So it is very much a time to think about hope.
Through the long centuries of waiting, Israel kept their hope that a Messiah would come because of the promise God gave them through the prophets. Jeremiah said in chapter 33, the day will come, says the Lord, when I will do for Israel and Judah all the good things I have promised them. In those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. Sometimes we too feel as if we're waiting for centuries for God to keep his promises, especially when we experience ongoing pain and suffering. Paul says in Romans 8, with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. And we believers also groan, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved.
Meanwhile, God has given us hope for life now. He has placed eternal value on our lives and has communicated with us about how to spend our time on earth meaningfully. The everlasting God delights in us and has important, valuable things for us to do. And he has given us his Spirit to guide us and empower us. Let's celebrate the hope that this gives us. Paul says in Ephesians, "I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance." And in Hebrews, "Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise."
1 Peter 1:13, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." And in Romans 15, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, Christmas time is supposed to be a time when we celebrate hope, but oftentimes for a lot of people it's not that way. It's actually, for some people, a hopeless time. It's a time when they're reminded of maybe some lack they have. Why do you think that people struggle with this so much?
I think partly it's because of the high expectations at Christmas. It's so often depicted as a perfect time with perfect family, lots of fun, and wonderful gifts that somebody knew exactly what to buy for you and probably spent a lot of money on, and everybody's super happy about what you gave them.
What did you get for me?
What did I get from you?
For me.
For you. Oh,
yeah,
it's
for me.
It's a surprise.
Oh, okay. I hope it's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Peace and love. She's giving
That's
me peace
right.
and love. That's right. But yeah, so Christmas can sometimes be a very hard time. Our lives don't... How many of your lives turned out the way you thought it would? Anybody? It just does not happen the way we thought it would. You know, especially when we're younger, we look forward to... Well, I don't know if we look forward to getting old, but we look forward to something. We have this image of what life is going to be, and then life happens, and bam, we're in the middle of it. And at Christmas time, for some reason, in the Western world anyway, that all comes crashing in. Reality comes crashing in, and it can be hard. And so this hope that Jesus gives us, this peace that Jesus gives us, the joy Jesus gives us, the love Jesus gives us, is actually, we can actually learn and practice and train with Jesus to have that joy and that peace and that hope and that love no matter what our circumstances. And so that's why we want to remind ourselves of these gifts so we can be practicing this in what is sometimes a hard time for people who are struggling.
Yep. I wanted to add to that what gives me hope when I'm aware of how life didn't turn out how I expected it to, this whole idea of that God has given us purposeful things to do, that he has placed eternal value on our lives, and he has given us purposeful things to do, often in those exact situations which are disappointing, because those are the things that help us have compassion on other people, because we've had some suffering, and that can be used so purposefully. Then God does that so that we can connect with other people and develop a kind of intentional relationship that wouldn't have happened if our life was just perfect.
Right. And it is interesting how the Bible often talks about the joy and the peace and the hope we receive when we are intentionally living in the way God called us to live. When we move forward in faith, even though things are not all perfect with us, when we move forward in faith, even when the situation looks bleak, and then when we do that in faith, joy comes, peace comes, hope comes. But it takes that step of faith, moving forward intentionally, even though the way looks bleak. And when we do it, we receive those gifts. And it's our trust grows. All right, third Sunday of Advent, joy.
On the third Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle of joy. Again, predicting Jesus' birth, the prophet Isaiah said, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." Announcing Jesus' birth, the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David."
Celebrating Jesus' birth, the hymn writer Isaac Watts wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king." How is receiving a king a cause for joy? It means letting someone else reign in my life. It means welcoming Jesus' rule in my heart and letting him use my life to build his kingdom instead of mine. What kind of kingdom did Jesus bring?
Jesus said about the kingdom in Matthew 13, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." What kind of reign does he want in my heart?
Well, he told us in John 15, "When you obey my commands, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow."
Jesus' rule in our hearts brings an improvement.
Our discord.
Our discord for his beauty and our alienation for his love. In Isaiah, the prophecy is so beautiful about what Jesus comes to do. It says, he came to bring good news to the poor. He was sent to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed, to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, and festive praise instead of despair. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us something so much better than we could ever work out for ourselves. Thank you for healing our brokenness and teaching us how to live in love and harmony instead of in discord and despair. Rule in our hearts, Lord Jesus. We make room in our hearts for thee.
Now, it's interesting here, again, the verses that we read, joy and peace are so, so very connected. And sometimes we search for happiness. We try to be happy. And I've talked to many people, and and ask the question, what do you want out of life? And a lot of people will say, well, I just want to be happy. And then so they'll search for happiness. And what happens when you search for happiness, see, happiness it comes from happenstance, right? That things are going well in your life. And so if you're searching for happiness, you're going to search for happiness in good circumstances, in things, in, you know, I'm not happy with my old clunker of a car, and so in order to be happy, I need to buy a newer and better car, or a bigger truck, or a bigger boat, or whatever, in order for me to be happy. But the problem with that, and we've probably all experienced it, especially with cars, we buy that car we think we want, and we're sitting at a red light, the second week we've bought this car, and somebody comes up with a better car and parks beside you at this red light, and you say, oh, all of a sudden your new car isn't as, you're not as happy anymore. And so whenever we pursue happiness, it will not come. It is elusive. We might have it for a moment, but it's elusive. And so this joy that God gave us in the gift of Christmas in Jesus is something that we can have no matter what car we're driving, or no matter what our circumstances. And it comes from living in peace with each other and with God, from living the life that He's called us to live.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anything you want to add to that?
Well, what hit me from that section was how much Jesus, it seems counterintuitive, but that His rule in our hearts, His government, His reign brings joy.
Right.
That connection was kind of a surprising to me as I worked on this section, but I love that. And for example, in John, Jesus says, my command is to love each other. This is my command. As you live in, as you obey my commands, you will, as I obey the Father's command, we live in His love, and your joy will be full.
Mm.
And so that was interesting to me. And then I looked back and I saw in Isaiah where it said, the government will be on His shoulders. So and there's a kid's song that says, joy is the flag flown high in the castle of my heart when the king is in residence there.
Yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Yeah, it really is counterintuitive to think that we'll have joy by letting somebody else rule our hearts. Isn't it? You know, to give your heart to somebody else, that means it sounds like you're holding yourself yourself captive, or you're letting somebody else hold you captive. But it really is being captivated by Jesus, allowing Him to govern your heart. And when we do that, we'll be living in the way that He's designed us to live, and the joy will come, and the peace will come.
And what He brings is such an improvement.
Yeah.
His beauty instead of our ashes.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, the fourth Sunday of Advent.
On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we lit the candle representing the gift of love. John 3:16, a very well-known verse, says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God's most ancient thought towards us is love. He created us to be His family. The delight of parents over a newborn baby is a small picture of God's delight in us. From the immensity of His heart of love, He gave the most precious gift possible, part of Himself, His own Son, born as a baby, so that we could be His children.
1 John 3:1, see how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are. God's love is transformational, leading us from fear to wholeness. 1 John 4:16, we know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Chapter 4, verse 18, Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. The hymn writer Henry Van Dyke wrote, "Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, hail thee as the Son of Love."
Until finally, as it says in 1 John 4:19, we will love each other because he loved us first. Jesus told his disciples, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love." It is God's love that meets our deepest needs and gives us a solid foundation for life.
Ephesians 3:14 to 19. This is one of my favorite passages. It's a prayer that Paul wrote to the Ephesian church because he wanted them to experience God's love powerfully. And so Paul says, when I think of all this, all the stuff we've already talked about, when I think about all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, all, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, I want to draw attention to just a couple things here. One of the things you said here is God's most ancient thought towards us is love. What made you write that?
Well, just the thought that even before God gave his Son to us in love to rescue us, prior to that, he created us out of love. But he started off, often we think the message of the Bible is God saving us from sin. Before we had even sinned, he created us because of love, because he wanted relationship.
Right.
That's the starting point.
Yeah. So pre-fall, in the garden, the very reason he created Adam and Eve, humankind, was because of his motive of love. God is love. Yeah, that's so his most ancient thought towards us is love. And if we can marinate in that, and especially in Ephesians 3, 14 to 19, marinate in that of how much God wants us to know that he loves us, it will change everything. Now, also there's a link here between experiencing God's love and his trust. And what we see is when we understand God's love for us, it removes all fear. So what are you afraid of? What do you fear? What worry do you have? What anxiety do you have? Marinating in the love of God, and if we really did understand how much God truly loves us and cares for us. He's our heavenly Father who loves us perfectly. If we really understood that, we would know there is nothing to fear. He loves us perfectly, and so we can relax in that love.
Yes, that is captured so nicely in 1 John 4:16, where it says, can't find it here right now, but in the NIV it says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." It's that sense of confidence that we can rely on his love.
Amen. All right, the Advent reading from last night, Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve, we celebrated the fulfillment of Advent, the season of waiting, preparing our hearts to celebrate Jesus' birth. We lit the center candle. This one represents Jesus. As we lit it, we remembered his birth, The time of waiting and preparation had ended, and we welcomed Jesus with worship and adoration. We also read the Christmas story from the Gospels. Stories have more than concepts or philosophies. Stories have settings, plots, and definitely characters. It's hard to imagine a story without any characters. Stories have real live people. We can see them, watch them, and get to know them through their life. We can see what they are like and how they impact their world and how their world impacts them. Stories involve change and have surprises. God didn't just tell us about his love or his desires for us by speaking to us in a great big loud voice from heaven. He embodied himself in a living, breathing person who came into our setting and spoke our language. In living out his story, Jesus surprised his family and his friends and his followers repeatedly. Everything about his birth and his life is surprising, and he has not finished surprising us yet. Over the last four Sundays, we have lit candles of hope, peace, joy, and love. Jesus brings all of these. He brings hope and purpose in life. He brings peace and the invitation to be peacemakers. He brings joy through his gracious reign over our heart and life. And he brings love and the commission to love others. Jesus came to change our story.
As we think about the Christmas story, let's bow our hearts before him. Let Jesus reign. Let him change you. Let him lead you until at last we cast our crowns before him, lost in wonder, love, and praise.